Welcome to KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's Thursday, September 8th of 2022. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, we'll have our latest report in our Follow the Waste series. This time, looking at the non-standardized plastic packaging waste coming out of the cannabis industry. Waters in southwestern Colorado win new protections under the Clean Water Act. And John Lindorf will be in to catch us up on local food news with Radio Nibbles. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have the BBC News headlines. Then it's Black Talk with Michelle Simpson. She'll be spending the hour with local mountain climber Eddie Taylor. Then at 9:30, Shauna Sprouls will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. All that's still ahead, but first, these headlines with KGNU's Luis Licon.
Boulder County Public Health, BCPH, is asking residents to take precautions while outdoors due to the rise in cases of the West Nile virus. 10 people have been hospitalized due to the West Nile virus since August 1st. Some BCPH recommendations include the use of insect repellent, long sleeves, drain standing water, and limit activities during dusk and dawn. Symptoms of the virus appeared 3 to 14 days after being bitten by the infected mosquito. Sandra Sonada, communicable disease nurse at Boulder County Public Health, said in a press release that Boulder County seems likely to surpass last year's total of 10 hospitalizations of the West Nile virus. There is currently no cure for the virus, and doctors and specialists can only treat symptoms. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment dashboard shows 42 hospitalized cases and 5 deaths statewide this year. Petitioners with Repeal CU Boulder South have filed a lawsuit against the City of Boulder for ballot language regarding the question of revising a city government decision to annex CU Boulder South. Petitioners argue that the language lacks clarity. Boulder City Council approved the ballot language on advice of the city attorney. The November ballot is set to be finalized by tomorrow. The Boulder Planning Commission approved a proposal from the Boulder Valley School District to annex its land on East Arapahoe this week. The annexation comes about 60 years after BVSD bought the land in 1962, and a commitment a couple years after the sale which granted BVSD use of Boulder's utilities and a promise to annex the land in the future. The need for the annexation came in 2019 when the district began construction on a central kitchen and proposed plans to partner with the city to create an affordable housing modular factory on the Boulder property. The annexation agreement enables BVSD to develop its nearly 42-acre property in partnership with the city's Housing and Human Services and Flatirons Habitat for Humanity to create an education center for construction students and build modular homes. If the city approves the annexation, BVSD would have to comply with the city's mandated building codes, including the dark sky rules, to eliminate light pollution. Candidates for various Colorado elective offices will be in Grand Junction this weekend for debates and speeches that includes incumbent Republican U.S. Congresswoman Lauren Boebert and Democrat and former Aspen City Councilor Adam Frisch. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, Aspen Public Radio, Caroline Yenis reports.
Lauren Boebert drew national attention earlier this summer when she spoke at Cornerstone Church in Basalt and criticized the separation of church and state. Former Aspen City Councilor Adam Frisch says he's been trying to focus his campaign on issues important to voters, like water, healthcare, and inflation. He says his experience working on affordable housing in Aspen has resonated with folks across the district, that affordable housing is not just a problem for wealthy resort communities.
And so when I'm talking to city council members across the district, the conversation of affordable housing comes up a lot. I think they appreciate that I have some sincere knowledge and interest in something that's become very, very important.
Frisch says if elected, he hopes to improve constituent services in district, something he says he's heard complaints about. Boebert's campaign has not responded to a request for comment. Caroline Yanez, Aspen Public Radio News.
Back-to-back days of record temperatures and low humidity readings have promoted warnings of critical fire conditions, Claire Purnell reports.
The National Weather Service has issued a heat advisory again today for most of the Plains and I-25 corridor. The National Weather Service advises residents to take extra precautions when outside and around open flames or potential ignition sources. Health authorities advise limiting strenuous activities outside to avoid the risk of heat stroke and heat exhaustion. For KGNU, I'm Claire Purnell.
Today is going to be a hot day in the Front Range. In Boulder, we are going to see a high of 92 and a low of 62. In Denver, we are going to see a high of 98 and a low of 69. In Fort Collins, there's going to be a high of 97 and a low of 51. Outside of the Boulder studio, it is currently 68 degrees. For KGNU, I am Luis Luque.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine. I'm your host, Shannon Young. The cannabis industry and its fans have a reputation for being tree huggers and earth lovers. Despite its green image, legal marijuana has a massive waste problem. But the industry's unique passion for the environment may motivate cannabis businesses to inspire changes in packaging norms well beyond the dispensary. KGNU's Hannah Lee Myers shares this latest report in our Follow the Waste series.
Visit almost any dispensary, like the Starbuds in Louisville, and you'll end up standing in front of a massive assortment of multicolored containers.
Hi there, what can I get for you?
Edibles, joints, flower, vapes, and concentrates, all sold in uniquely designed packaging, made of all sorts of materials. Considering Colorado is predicted to sell around $1.8 billion of marijuana products this year, and that's a three-year low, the amount of these containers going out dispensary doors across the state is pretty staggering.
There's a tremendous amount of waste in this industry. Tremendous amount.
That's Bob Wadden, store director at the Louisville Starbuds. According to the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, in 2019, the cannabis industry was producing around 7.3 million pounds of marijuana plant waste per year. The year before, Denver officials found cannabis grow operations accounted for 4% of the city's overall electricity use. But when Wadden says there is tremendous waste in the marijuana industry, he isn't even specifically referencing any part of that plant or energy waste. He's just talking about packaging. Packaging that, at least in Canada and possibly in the U.S., is outpacing the sale of actual cannabis products per gram.
Just thinking about how many joints are sold in the state every day. You know, we're constantly buying these cases of 600 to 900 units of tubes. They're called dupe tubes. And it's a waste. It's a big waste in this industry. And where are those tubes going? We're not reusing them. Obviously, we do it for the right reasons, for safety, right? There's got to be a better way.
Wana Brands, based in Boulder, is likely the largest edibles manufacturer in North America. And they are trying to find a better way.
We as Wana are dedicated to leaving this earth as best we can.
Joe Hodes, chief marketing officer for Wana Brands, says one way they're doing that is with special packaging, designed by a company called Calyx Containers. According to the Calyx website, an organic additive that attracts microbes helps to accelerate the degradation of their containers in biologically active landfills.
This is one of the newer products we just launched. It's our live rosin gummies. But you can see on the bottom,
calyxcontainers.com/patents. Please recycle.
But ask Recycling Center leadership, like Marty Mage, deputy director at EcoCycle in Boulder, about those accelerated degradation containers.
Clearly, we have a vendor who is really trying to do the right thing.
And you'll likely be met with a sigh of disappointment. Mage and other recyclers have serious concerns about containers like these and others they categorize as bioplastics.
When you landfill them or if they become litter, biodegradable plastics will eventually, quote unquote, biodegrade in that they will break down and seemingly go away and disappear, which might sound great. But now we've introduced an even greater polluting threat to the environment, because while the plant-based polymers biodegraded and disappeared, the petroleum-based elements didn't biodegrade. They're still there and are now microscopic microplastics.
Mache says humans can end up inhaling, consuming, or otherwise absorbing these microplastics. Calix Containers distances their product from biodegradable plastics. The company claims their product breaks down into a biomass, not microplastics. However, EcoCycle's Mache adds that plastic recyclers are often reluctant to repurpose biodegradable and any bio-infused plastics because they're designed to be less durable than traditional petroleum-based plastics.
So then if we recycle biodegradable plastics, there is a concern that the Sustainable Product Coalition has and other plastic recyclers have that biodegradable plastics are purposely designed to be less durable than traditional petroleum-based plastics. So they have the potential to weaken the structural integrity of new recycled plastics. So while it sounds like a great idea, biodegradable plastics that use both plant-based and petroleum-based polymers really aren't better for the environment or for recycling, and in fact, they might be worse for both.
Joe Hodes says Wana is trusting Calix to take on the heavy lift of staying in touch with what recycling experts suggest for eco-friendly containers. Wana is pretty busy keeping up with the massive amount of regulation in the cannabis industry. Regulation, Hodes says, is also a major contributor to the waste problem.
Each state tends to like to mess with the regulations on a regular basis. So when we have the artwork that has, let's say, fruit on it, and a state says, well, we've decided that fruit is not a picture that we can have on the packaging, well, suddenly we're holding, you know, 50,000 units that already have fruit on it. That's where a lot of the waste in this industry comes into play, is every time there's a change to regulation, Wana and every other manufacturer out there probably has a lot of packaging that's already been built, and a lot of that ends up going to waste, and that's a real problem.
So while marijuana companies try to comply with regulations requiring everything from child-safe seals to containers you can't see into, it seems cannabis companies may be unknowingly producing millions of pounds of packaging unsuitable for single-stream recycling. And that's where companies like Green for Green come in.
We've captured roughly about 25 tons of plastic, and that's like specifically plastic. And then there's also glass, which weighs a lot more.
Sean Naughton is founder of Green for Green, a company that puts receptacles in dispensaries where consumers can dump their various cannabis containers. The Green for Green team then sorts through those containers and determines what's trash, what's only suitable for repurposing into something else, and what can be reused.
We created a proprietary process that removes the labels, then we clean them, sanitize them, rebox, and put back into the market.
But Green for Green, EcoCycle, and Wana Brands all seem to agree with something Bob Wadden from Starbuds Dispensary said earlier.
There's got to be a better way.
Two ideas come up again and again. Either creating a set of standardized, regulator-approved containers of various sizes designed for optimal recyclability, and or going for the zero-waste gold standard, reusable personal containers, likely made of glass, which is infinitely recyclable, that cannabis users can get refilled at the dispensary. Both ideas would require enormous effort from all parties to get approved, but there is unique interest within the cannabis industry to take on the challenge, considering the potential to initiate broader change in packaging norms within and outside the cannabis industry. Again, here's Marty Mache from EcoCycle.
As this industry is being born and coming up with solutions here in the state that other states, as they start to legalize, will be following, we here in Colorado could come up with a solution for the entire industry that others could follow suit, and we could create something that really could also set a great example for other industries and other packagers. And if we can work together with the cannabis industry to find a reuse refill model that we could then share elsewhere, it would be amazing. And I think there's tons of potential for us to do that.
Confusion over what containers are best for the environment and the proper way to dispose of packaging is a problem that touches all industries, not just the cannabis industry. That confusion is felt at all levels, from the consumer standing by the bins, all the way up to the product producer, and even at the recycling center. So maybe the message is this wild west of packaging, where every product is made out of who knows what, and recyclers scramble to take what they can, isn't working well for anyone, but certainly not the planet. And maybe, just maybe, the cannabis industry can lead the way to something better. For KGNU, I'm Hanalei Myers.
KGNU's Follow the Waste series is made possible by a grant from Boulder County's Zero Waste Funding Program. A coalition of community members, anglers, recreation groups, and conservation organizations are celebrating finalization of the Colorado Water Quality Control Commission's decision to designate more than 520 miles on 25 streams across southwest Colorado as outstanding waters. Eric Galatis has more.
As climate change brings longer and more severe drought to the American Southwest, a community-led coalition is celebrating new protections for more than 520 miles of 25 Colorado streams. Duncan Rose with the Dolores River Anglers says if these pristine Colorado streams are polluted or degraded, the results would be disastrous for native trout species that need clean water to survive, and also for entire communities and industries.
Obviously, everybody suffers, whether it's from drinking, whether it's from agriculture, whether it's recreational use, but also all of the web of life that's associated with the stream, of which trout are simply a canary in the mine, so to speak.
The Colorado Water Quality Control Commission recently finalized the state's designation of the streams in southwestern Colorado as outstanding waters under the Clean Water Act. The designation protects existing high-quality waters from future degradation, including pollution from development, mining, oil and gas, and other uses. Rose says the move is also a win for local businesses because it reinforces the need for water managers to protect resources critical for the outdoor recreation industry, the region's fastest-growing economic driver.
Whether it's hunting or biking or trail running, backpacking, camping, whatever, so it's imperative that we keep this quality foremost in the minds of the people who manage this.
The protected streams largely run through public lands, and Rose points out that the designation doesn't prohibit multiple uses, such as mining, but he says any operator that might trigger damage to a stream's water quality would now be obligated to keep those waters clean.
If mining were to occur, there would have to be best practice engineering protection designs put in place that would prevent any degradation to the water quality of that stream.
Support for this reporting was provided by the Pew Charitable Trust. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
It's time for Radio Nibbles, and John Lindorf is here to catch us up on local food news. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Shannon, and good morning, everyone all over the world gathered around the big KGNU kitchen table. I was gone for a week up to the Great Northwest. I'll talk about that a little later, but I wanted to catch up on a couple of things. You may have noticed that you got a check in the mail, and it's, of course, the Colorado Department of Revenue refunding taxpayers $750 to $1,500. I just wanted to suggest to everyone, it's gone on for so long that there's a certain amount of weariness about the bigger problems, one of them being feeding our neighbors. And all of the many organizations that help to feed people in Boulder County are really, things haven't gotten that much better, you know, with the pandemic and everything, and there was a lot of attention paid to it. So consider the possibility. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to spend that money. Well, you know, a lot of people are just going to pay bills with it, and I understand that, but one way that you could invest that money is to give to organizations like Boulder Food Rescue, Community Food Share, EFA, and organizations out in the county like Sister Carmen. Just a minor suggestion.
Or you can make it less than voluntary. And if you have kids in school, you can use some of that money to spend it on school lunches, which are no longer free.
That's
and if
right.
you have three kids, right. the entirety of that table refund is not going to pay for.
And if
you're going to be losing
if
money.
If it's not a big amount to you, another way to use that money is to, I believe there's a fund to help pay school lunch, back bills and things like that. So anyway, just a thought there. There's a bunch of things coming up, cool food events. September really is prime time in a lot of ways. I was going to say because it's not as hot, but obviously that's false. one thing I did want to let you know, First Bite Boulder is Boulder County's Restaurant Week. I don't know why they call it a restaurant week anymore, since it's 10 days from September 30 to October 9th. And you may be familiar with it, a fixed price meal at various restaurants around town. The program has greatly expanded, and we'll have guests on as September continues here to talk about some of the particulars of this. I'm telling you about this now because the menus and the reservations for all these restaurants that are participating in it are going live. And every year people, go, it's September 30th or whatever, they go, all right, I'm going to
pumpkin spice it up.
I'm going to take my significant other out for a fun time. And they go online and they can't get a reservation at the places that they want to go to. I'm telling you now that if you're interested in that kind of thing, that you really should go ahead. There's a lot of new restaurants that are part of it, including this cool new restaurant in Lyons called Marigold. And consider, going ahead and making those reservations ahead of time.
Okay, well, what's in your nipples column today?
It's, Boulder is Boulder County, natural foods, tofu, granola, sprouts, juice. It's amazing the large number of international sausage makers in this county. There's a huge number of places that make sausage from scratch. There's Argentinian and German and all kinds of other. And my column is devoted to where you can get those sausages and grill them on your grill in the backyard. It's a change of pace from the usual tempeh.
Okay. Well, you've been on vacation. Did you eat anything particularly fantastic?
Besides fresh chilies from the garden? Yes, I went up to Portland and then on to Vancouver. I went to this wonderful place. You would have loved it.
Okay.
Shannon.
Okay.
It's called the Portland Mercado.
All right.
And it's I don't understand why we can't have something like this, but it's a permanent food stand set up in a parking lot with a covered area.
Mm-hmm.
Cuban, Costa Rican, Peruvian, across the board, Latin American foods.
Well, let me tell you, just since you brought this up, let me tell you about the best thing I've eaten lately.
Yes.
And it was Los Carboncitos on Sheridan.
Yes.
It's like the first restaurant that I've been to in Boulder, like the first, this area where like the salsa is actually like, thank you. This is the spiciness that I've required. So Los Carboncitos on Sheridan.
Yes. Very good.
Yeah.
And the worst thing I had was the Southwest snack mix on the flight coming back. And I'm sitting there looking at it and I'm thinking, really, this is, I understand it's free. I'm not whining. I'm just saying, somebody had to decide that, this was a good thing and it wasn't.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Well, you can listen to past Radio Nibbles shows going back several years at news.kgnu.org. And of course, John's Nibbles column is coming out today in the Boulder Weekly.
Absolutely. And bon appetit, everyone. Thanks for listening.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Special thanks to Luis Licon, Claire Purnell, Jimmy Searfoss, Caroline Yanez, Alexis Kenyon, Rosanna Longo-Better, Hannah Lee Myers, Eric Galatis, and John Lindorf for their contributions to today's program. Stay tuned for Black Talk with Michelle Simpson. That's coming up just after the news headlines from the BBC.